You're listening to the NHExit.org podcast.
And it looks like we have a returning person, but not local.
That's not nice.
That's not nice. You're not local, right?
No, I'm not.
No, I don't think anybody minds.
now, do you go by Daniel?
I do.
Okay, so this is Daniel Miller of Texit. I met you 2-3 pork fests ago. When I lived in Texas, one of the first things people would ask me is, "You're not from around here, right?" So the same thing would happen to you here.
it did at Pork Fest.
Yeah, people also, for me, since I'm not from the Northeast, some people around here think I'm Southern, but that's because anybody that's not from around here is not a Yankee or is Southern. Just like in the South, everybody's a Yankee, even if they're from like Iowa.
right.
So we didn't have anything specific we were going to talk about that I know about. Riley and Penguin, you guys have anything you were going to bring up?
I don't have anything I need to bring up at this time.
I don't know if this was covered last time, but one of the things I had a question about was the media consultant person, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess they're still on and Matt's in contact with her.
Yeah, he seems to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like we're making progress on that. I know he submitted. Well, he wrote up a press release for, I think it was NHIPAC, if I'm not mistaken. And that got published. I published that on Freekeen and NHExit.us.
They look like they're trying to put out a different version of that press release, which would be evergreen. I mean, it would be timely from now until January, really, right? Until it hits or something like that. I don't know what their strategy is. So, but that's all I'm guessing. So that's all I know about that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know a whole lot either, unfortunately. Matt, I think Matt's probably the one who we really would be nice to have on, but I don't know. I don't know if we can get him on or not.
Matt, Monday is not a horrible day for him. But he needs it to be at like 8 or 9 o'clock. And even sometimes that's not late enough. And right. It's not guaranteed each time because he's a salesman. So if he's busy, I think he just keeps working. So the New Hampshire Independence PAC meetings are at 8 p.m. But sometimes he has trouble getting to those too. So they're on a different day. But that's what I know about his schedule is that I don't know of a way to, unless we did it on Sundays, I think he could do it on Sunday afternoons or something like that. That's what he could do. And then I was always busy on Sunday afternoons and that sort of stuff.
Right. We've always got problems with getting everybody on at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is what it is,
I
guess.
If we get busy, we could do it twice a week. And then right now we don't need that at all. So, so Daniel, did you come just to eavesdrop or did you have stuff you wanted to talk about?
No, I saw the leak and I came to, offer my support.
Okay. Yeah. So the only thing I know that's going on with you is that I saw that you're having your convention soon, right?
Yeah, we've got the Texit conference coming up on the 9th through the 12th next month. And, man, it's going to be a fun one. We've got, a ton of speakers, a lot of, I think, surprises for some folks. So, it's going to be a phenomenal event.
So what kind of speakers do you have? Do you have specific secession people or do you have just normal Texas guys that are in politics or, you know, current reps that are friendly to your to group?
What is all of the above. I mean, okay. I mean, just here's, you know, here's just a sample. So we've got Dr. Matt Courtrup coming over from the UK. We have the head of the English Constitutional Party. We have Texas State Senator Bob Hall. We've got leaders from grassroots organizations all throughout Texas. We've got, let's see, who else? Marcus, I believe, is coming in from CalExit.
Okay, cool.
Hang on, let me run it down. I mean, we've got, I think we're going to wind up having pretty close to 60 speakers by the time it's all over with.
Now that's pretty brave of Marcus to show up in Waco as a Californian. You know, there's a lot of people that in Texas ready to send back those Californians.
Well, I mean, as long as he's not buying property, right?
As long as he's not buying property in your county.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got an entire section, a whole track on crypto and blockchain.
Nice.
We've got a bunch of podcasters. Dr. Steve Turley is going to be there. We've got filmmakers, some additional academics. I mean, it's we got just a lot of people, man. I mean, it's these people cross the spectrum and can essentially inform the discussion on Texit specifically, but Exit in general, from a lot of different perspectives. So
it is interesting who gets interested in this, because we have a lot of people that will, a lot of normal people can ignore you, but it's interesting how some academics find it interesting, even, you know, for or against you. It's just fascinating to them. Or like you get politicians that are on one side or the other, right? Either the Democrats are attacking you, or, you know, a few Republicans that might be brave to join you, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting mix.
Yeah, it's going to be the conference is going to be great. I mean, there's a lot of news, you know, beyond the conference that's happening. Obviously, a lot going on with the border and some of the work that, you know, we're the intersection of Texas and the border issue. We've got lots of new pledge signers that are running. It's going to be one of the most contested primary seasons in Texas election history. The petition campaign's happening. I mean, it's just we've got a lot going on. It's every day's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose.
What do you think? You know, you're saying this is going to be one of the more contested things. What's the main issues?
Really and truly, it's a couple of things. Number one is the lack of real pushback from the political establishment on the federal government. That is really fueling a lot of contention among the electorate. There's a lot of them that feel, a lot of people in the electorate here that feel that their representatives are elect, you know, they're running one way and governing another, which is nothing new, but it's become a crisis across a lot of different fronts here in Texas. So the lack of pushback on the federal government, particularly related to the border crisis and some of the other things around that, that's a big deal. And then the other is this general sense of discontent among the electorate. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that we've got some serious infighting happening down here in politics. A lot of the I don't know if you guys heard about the attempted impeachment of the attorney general here in Texas, but they tried to impeach him and it failed. And so you've got a big divide between the House and the Senate. Because the House rushed impeachment, didn't have all their crap together, and effectively botched the entire thing and couldn't prove a case that he needed to be impeached. And so because our attorney general has been on the front lines of the pushback against the federal government, it became essentially a proxy war over this reaction to the federal government. Everyone talks about the Texas House being the place that good pro-Texas legislation goes to die. And now everyone has really seen it with the attempted impeachment of the attorney general and, you know, the comprehensive border bill. And I mean, a lot of different things. So It's a mix, but really it boils down to those two things, a lack of adequate federal pushback from the legislative branch, and this disenfranchisement on behalf of the electorate.
So who are the people in your house that are behind this kind of stuff?
Well, the house, so I don't know if we've talked about it before, and I've got to be brief because I've got to hop off here in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, our house, it's one of the, one of the funny, interesting quirks between Texas and New Hampshire as far as representation goes. The Texas House has 150 state reps, and we have 31 state senators. And so out of that, you probably, in the House, you have a reelection rate of incumbents of, I think, over 90%. I mean, basically, retire out. And it's a voter turnout issue because you've got, again, a bunch of disenfranchised voters that are pretty fed up with it that have given up. And I think a lot of them are coming off the bench in this session. So that's to say, we probably, this last session was not a good one for us for a lot of different reasons. But I would suggest that when we go to file the legislation in the next session, we will probably wind up with double the number of joint and co-authors than we had on the bill this last time. And I think we're going to get a Senate sponsor this time around. This last session was bad for us because we had an imperfect vessel carrying our legislation, and he wound up actually becoming one of the first state reps to be expelled from the Texas House in about 100 years.
Wow. So,
we haven't had any fireworks around here like that.
Well, it's definitely been one for the record books. I mean, historic impeachment of Attorney General and expulsion out of the Texas House. You've got the Senate, you've got the Lieutenant Governor and the Speaker of the House taking daily shots at one another. I mean, like hardcore. These guys are in the same political party, which is crazy when you think about it. But the war is really boiling down to ideology and those two things that we talked about. So definitely going to be one for the books, man. I'm kind of excited to see what happens next.
Your house guys are they voted in every 2 years?
Yeah.
And that's our why, house, and that's why they're kind of like the U.S. House of Representatives. It can kind of be a job for life. Right. Once you get in there and.
Yeah. I mean, look, Texas has a high incumbent reelection percentage. And and again, a lot of that is because so many of these elections are not competitive for the political party. So the duopoly has essentially locked it in. So there's not really a third party out. So there's not a path to victory for third parties outside of the majors. Okay. And so consequently, they've gerrymandered the maps in such a way that pretty much every race is only competitive in the primaries. So, you wind up in a situation where if you want to take out an incumbent, you've got to mount that campaign in the primary, because if they win the primary, they're going back to the ledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many people have you gotten to sign your Texas First pledge? Around
Let's see. I'd have to go look. I mean, it's a wad. If you go to taketexasback.com, you'll see it. I can't give you the number right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it something like 80 or something like that? What was the?
It's more than that. I think we're well over 100 plus at this point.
Cool. Yeah, and with our guys, we've had some people that want to just keep pushing the legislation, and then we have other guys that are, the Republican hierarchy does not want to push this issue.
Yeah.
And so they're pressuring some of our, guys that aren't in leadership to, just don't make this an issue. You know, they want to fight on, there's lots of other stuff that they need to work on.
Sure.
But, for us, we think some of these things can't be fixed inside the state.
Sure.
So that's the thing, is some of us, it's nice trying to get more school choice things, and it's better to spend less money, but how do we stay out of the next war? You don't fix that inside the Senate of the New Hampshire State House.
No, and look, that's the thing that people really ignore a lot of times is that trickle down effect. I mean, I say it's a trickle down effect, but it really is the fact that the federal government has gotten their tentacles in everything. So decisions that are being made in the State House are impacted significantly by the state's relationship with the federal government. You know, it was, I think, two or three sessions back, we did a study, essentially searched the text of every piece of legislation, and we found out that about 45, 46, 47%, whatever it was, of the legislation, of the bills that were filed in the Texas legislature, referenced the federal government, a federal agency, a federal program, federal tax money, whatever. And so, you know, what the impact of that is that you wind up getting your legislation effectively written by K Street lobbyists or 2.5 million unelected federal bureaucrats.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
You know, the one thing that I think makes this kind of a hands-off issue for a lot of the political establishment is they know what we know. And what we know is the study that Dr. Matt Quartrup did, where he measured voter turnout for independence referendums worldwide. And what he found is by looking at voter turnout for those referendums over the last 100 years, average voter turnout runs about 85%. You know, Brexit was under the mark, but the Scottish independence referendum was kind of right there at that 85% mark. And so, you know, when you look at that 85% voter turnout in comparison to normal voter turnout rates, what you find is that those people that are turning out for independence referendums are people that have effectively been disenfranchised by the existing political establishment. And then those people come off the bench, you know, and then they have an impact in those elections. So it becomes not just an opportunity to vote on your independence. It becomes an opportunity to clean the slate, right, from the state house to the schoolhouse. It has those sorts of impacts. And it's one of the reasons that the political establishment is as nervous as a chihuahua crap in a peach pit when it comes to this issue.
Well, it does make sense. We should be able to get people interested in this over time because of the stuff of war, inflation, you know, endless spending on the Fed's part. Like you're saying,
we got to keep getting together, Russell.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know. You know,
hey guys, I hate to cut you off, but I've got to get to my next appointment. But I did want to drop in and give my support and just say hello and tell you to keep the faith and keep fighting.
Okay,
all right, thank you.
We'll follow you online and good luck with the conference.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Y'all take care.
Okay,
Miller.
So that was Daniel Miller. He's in charge of the Texas National Movement. Which is okay. TNM. We were talking about their Texit conference last or 2 weeks ago. Their TexitCon. So the website is texitconference.com. And the Texas National Movement is TNM.me is their website. He came to Porkfest 2-3 years ago, and then he's been like a video panel person for a couple more events here.
Okay.
And he's referencing that Marcus, who was a video entrance in our secession panel 2-3 Porkfests ago, is coming to his thing. And as of right now, I don't know of any of our New Hampshire people that are going to go to this Texit conference. It happens November 9th through the 12th. So I don't know of anybody that's going there. I can't. I'm stuck at work. But I don't know. We might still have somebody that goes there. It will be really fun. You know, it's the biggest thing like that that's happened in the U.S., you know, for who knows how long, right?
Yep.
So he's got all kinds of, it'll be interesting because he has such a mixture of people that are there. You know, I'm looking at the website, there's all the different kinds of people. And they filled in a lot more speakers than the last time I looked at this website. So, but that's good. So he saw me posting on the Matrix server or Twitter. That's how he saw that.
Makes sense.
That's why he jumped on here. He's been, has he been on this call once or twice? Like a year more ago? I think so.
Yeah, he's been on before.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any reactions to what he was talking about?
That's pretty neat that they've got potentially a senator on board for Texas.
And I had forgotten that the problem was also one of their guys that was heading up their stuff last time ended up being a guy that did not carry it forward in a way that would have been that they had hoped.
Unfortunately, that happens.
Yeah. See, right now, that's the good thing is so far the guys that have been pushing our stuff, like people like, you know, we had some people get primaried because of it, but not because they had done anything wrong, right? Like people like Mike Sylvia. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, even though he lost his seat. So we have that going for us.
Well, I mean, don't forget that the main person behind the main NH exit person also lost. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's true.
Brody. Yeah, Brody. Yashay.
Okay, so here's a website I found for them also. TNMPAC, Texas National Movement PAC.org. So that they also have TNM.ME.
Okay.
So I was kind of confused by that, but I'm looking at more. I'm wanting to steal the idea from them. They have members, and so I'm wanting to have memberships in my nhexit.org. So every time people donate, they get voting rights in our thing. So as we build that up, I'm kind of I'm getting the idea from his group. Except for ours will be we also have free memberships just to be on the mailing list and stuff like that. On our end, yeah, we keep having the PAC guys are putting out press releases. I had good interaction on Twitter when I took their press release and put a nice little picture to go along with it. So I'm going to be doing that about once a week because people reacted to that positively and negatively more than anything else I've posted as NHExit on Twitter. You know how you never know exactly. And I have been that Twitter account I've been very tame with. I don't try to be very controversial. And of course, controversy is what kind of you know, cranks up the engagement on Twitter. But I'll just keep posting their things if they keep coming up with new text and stuff like that. And then what I'm doing is posting it there, and then I need to tag whichever people are mentioned in it. And I tag the PAC, the New Hampshire Independence PAC, on Twitter. So I'll keep doing that because that seems to be working. It's enough text to get people interested, you know, and that sort of stuff. So we'll see. Because I think other than that, I mean, we're just waiting for January for that, right, Penguin?
I'm sorry, what?
When we're talking about our two bills, there's no action on that until January, right?
Yeah, it's not for a while. The Bills just they only recently had to be in. So
they just go in.
I think earliest is January or something.
Yeah, like so that's the thing is we won't on that front we won't have any new, you know, things to be talking.
Do we have bills? I mean, I'm guessing we have bills in right now for the legislative session, but do they have numbers yet?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen that. Otherwise. No, okay. Nobody's referenced that yet.
I think it's too early for that.
Okay. Yeah,
that's so I don't know if we've officially gotten the wording and officially gotten the numbers. So I think those will be little steps, I guess, that'll be happening.
Yeah.
Hey, Russell, I have to say I did get some responses on Mastodon as well. So yeah, it's definitely I posted something similar to you, I think. So
and then you got that, yes, and you got some interaction on Mastodon
a little bit.
Under the Talk Live Mastodon social thing.
Yeah.
So let me read that. That's social.freetalklive.com. And that's a Mastodon instance. And I find that to be very useful. Mastodon is kind of like Twitter, except for I have control of the algorithm. I only get what I want to look at. So I find that good. Who runs that? Is that you or who?
The
Mastodon server.
I'll refrain from revealing who exactly.
Oh, okay, but it's somebody it's you community. Know. Okay.
Yeah, it's our community. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know who that. And see, I use that. I'm on the instance that's I'm logged in on that, and I also follow my No Agenda podcast. They have a good Mastodon thing, so we have some crossover between those two. I also need to spend some time talking up the Texas National Movement on their group because one of their people's Adam Curry, who is a Texas person, so I think he'd like Daniel Miller. So
he probably would.
Because that particular podcast uses the term "we" too often in regards to the federal government.
Yeah,
I thought I'd just read off one of the Mastodon posts that somebody responded to one of the press releases, and he said, "New Hampshire isn't in a position to be self-sufficient." I don't know why that matters, but hey, most countries aren't self-sufficient, including the United States. People are used to crossing the border to get to Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont. If New Hampshire were an independent nation, the CBP, Border Patrol, would require us to go through customs and probably demand a passport every time we did that, with long delays and outrageous intrusion. The courts have ruled that the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply at the border. All the more reason, if you ask me,
I know,
to declare independence. Right?
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's 100 miles, which basically encompasses all of New Hampshire. If we want our Fourth Amendment back, we have to declare independence in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you're describing another pile of things that are wrong with the federal government.
Yeah.
Now, it's also funny that when you talk about the self-sufficiency, you know, I always ask people kind of what they mean by that. I mean, there aren't, you know, are we supposed to be completely self-sufficient food-wise? Or is it oil or electricity or water or, you know, army? I mean, I don't know what the self-sufficient part is. You know, how much do they mean? And then what are we getting from the federal government that makes it so that, I mean, there's things that we import into New Hampshire that don't have anything to do with the other 49 states, right? I mean, they're coming from somewhere. Why would that change? I don't. Most people, I don't really even know what they're talking about when they talk about self-sufficiency. I tell people I want to eat bananas. I'm never going to be self-sufficient for bananas in New Hampshire.
Right, because it's the wrong climate.
Unless people accept the currency that I give them, which is the arrangement right now. So I don't see why that will change.
Yeah, I value self-sufficiency, but I think it's just absurd to say that you can't be independent because you're not self-sufficient. Very, very few. I mean, I would probably argue that almost no country is self-sufficient at least in every way. Certainly, you know, some countries are self-sufficient in terms of, like, I don't know, like the United States in terms of food production, right, for the most part, you know. But if you start talking about, I don't know, certain types of oil that doesn't exist in the United States, well, yes, we export oil, but we also import oil. We are also, I believe, not self-sufficient for actually, I think most of our oil import is imported, even though we're exporting oil because of the refineries that can refine U.S. oil aren't in the United States. Now, we can refine, I think, Canadian oil, so we import Canadian oil only to, like, re-export it, but then, like, our import, our oil that we use is exported and then re-imported or something. It's so weird and bizarre. Yeah,
that's the thing, is all of those kinds of decisions don't really have anything to do with borders. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop us from passing those things back and forth. So I don't know why it would be worse if we were separated.
It's not even like if we declared independence, we would be the one who would be setting up the border guards, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, I might get searched when I go into Massachusetts, but you know, that's all the more reason to shop here in New Hampshire.
Well, and haven't you guys heard that, you know, since 9/11 and then since a little bit later, you know, coming and going from Canada, the worst part is going back into your home country. That's where the hassles happen.
Yeah.
So it would be very strange for us to have a really lopsided border where people would start going, well, why don't I just go to New Hampshire and stay there? Because they don't hassle me.
And here's the thing. We would lose, we might lose easy access to Massachusetts, and, you know, the rest of the United States. But what we would probably gain in return is easier access to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about. Canada increased their restrictions for U.S. people because the U.S. Government increased the restrictions for Canadians. So New Hampshire wouldn't have to have this restrictive policy with Canada. And at that point, Canada could, you know, have a loose policy with New Hampshire, and we'd have, you know, free trade with more freer trade with Canada.
Yeah, and who knows what could happen in Portsmouth and with the Manchester Airport if it's not a U.S. airport or a U.S. port. Mm-hmm. I mean, there might be some interesting things that might start coming and going from Portsmouth from little tiny countries around somewhere, or, you know,
right? Yeah, maybe we could do some deals with, like, Canada or some European countries.
It also greatly benefits the businesses in New Hampshire for not being part of the United States, because so for example, if my business shipped from Canada to the United States, we wouldn't have to worry about collecting sales taxes for 10,000 plus taxing jurisdictions.
Oh, yes.
Because we're in New Hampshire, and that's part of the United States currently, we have to deal with that.
Yeah.
We're put at a disadvantage by comparison to having our business run out of Canada.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother one where, you know, we could be a distribution center, or companies might want to have their headquarters here or some part of their thing here.
I mean, that's just one of many different reasons, but there's also potential tax benefits that we could offer for sure, which New Hampshire is in some respects, but it's not like Delaware but we could be, right? We could be like Delaware. We could be even within the United States. Now, we haven't gone there, but we have in terms of sales tax, which is why people come to New Hampshire for sales.
Well, I also think that by the time we got so that we were independent, the amount of sorting of people moving here and people moving out, it would be easier to push those kinds of changes if the people that like big government have already left. You know, I think we have a lot of those kinds of things happen.
And certainly we're not going to be like creating hurdles to become a New Hampshire citizen, right? Like,
I think all three of us agree that we're not worried about securing any borders. I just want to make it so that I'm just not wanting our government to be giving out money.
Yeah.
The only people that would be moving here are the people that aren't going to live off New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I mean, people aren't moving here already.
I know. I told Riley that I used to joke about that in California all the time, that, you know, nobody moves from California to Wyoming to get like benefits.
Yeah.
They already have that self-selecting happening. And like you're saying, Penguin here, it's like that. And we already have, I mean, why would you live here if you're wanting handouts when either Vermont, Maine, or Mass is going to be better?
Oh, speaking of which, it's actually kind of funny. Somebody connected to my family, I guess you could say, they actually moved from New Hampshire to Massachusetts for benefits, which I thought was really funny.
But that does happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Now, in that case, it was a little bit interesting because they had to do with military benefits. So Massachusetts gives money to military veterans, whereas New Hampshire doesn't. So it's a state. It's humorous because it's actually a state thing. But you know,
and we'll have lots of that kind of stuff if we leave. And then you're the people that are wanting the federal government to be paying for their life. They're going to be leaving here. I mean, it's just the way it's going to go. They won't have to necessarily, but I bet a bunch will.
Oh yeah, I mean, people who prioritize, I guess, economics entirely prioritize economics over, freedom. I think they're going to leave. People who value freedom and economics, I think, will stay.